Lord, I just thank you today, Lord, that we've all made it here safely and in one piece, although that one piece may be disheveled. Lord, I know some people walked in here and other people crawled, Lord, but I'm just glad we're all here, able to make it today. Lord, we just pray for your ministering touch on each one of us, Lord, just that you would minister your word to us in a healing and powerful way, and a way that brings comfort and help, Lord. We just pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's check my time because I went way over last time I spoke. All right. Hi, I think I know everybody here. For those who don't, my name is Benjamin, like John said. I'm up here today for two different reasons. One, John has his program for 10-minute messages. Two, I have a class that I'm wrapping up my volunteer time for. So this will be the last time that the time I'm up here is for that class. Anytime after that, it's just because John likes me for some odd reason. I hug him, so I don't know why he likes me. Anyway, it was interesting because John was talking about what he's going to be preaching about and kind of told me, okay, base yours off of this, and it was kind of broad. I don't even really know how to describe it without maybe giving away what John's going to talk about, which I don't want to do. But it was based around the idea of how God takes care of us in the midst of a storm, maybe, in the midst of just being in the middle of it. I know I heard notes about John's message last week, kind of when everything, all the poo gets flung at you. I'm not going to be so bold as John was last week. For those of you who are here or heard online, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and I started looking, and I found all sorts of great scriptures, but the thing I got hung up on was just how cookie cutter they are. And I don't know anybody else who's been through it, as it were, and you're getting there, and the people come alongside you with good intentions and great intentions, but they just bring a word from Scripture, and it's like, don't worry, brother. The Lord works for the good in all things to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. I don't care right now. I'm in the middle of it, and I don't want some cookie-cutter answer. Not that there's not truth in that, and I don't want to take away from the truth of the cookie-cutter answers, but I think they're good for one purpose, which is instilling hope. But when you're in the middle of the storm, you need hope, but it goes beyond that. You start to need help. You need the practical applications of, okay, how do I hope in the Lord? How do I put my hope in the Lord and come to him and humble myself before him? That's a fun one. Who cares about all that stuff? And then I started thinking about examples and ways to come to God. And we were talking in the cafe, because I work with John in the cafe at the college, about David and how David is, quote, a man after God's own heart. And it's like, how is that? Because David was an adulterous, conniving murderer. And he was a guy after God's own heart. What kind of God do we serve? And I started thinking, and I was like, well, the thing that I like about that scripture is that David was after God's heart. He didn't necessarily achieve God's heart and attain it. But no matter where his life was, when he heard the word of God spoken, he took his life and kind of redirected it towards God. David didn't always get it right, and we know that from what's in the scripture. And we know David didn't get it all of the time right, but he got his life and he focused it on God, and he went after God, no matter what he was going through. He made a mistake, he screwed up, he fell on his face, and Nathan came along and said, you've screwed up. And he goes, oh, I have. And he admits it, and he kind of gets his life back on track. And he went after God, no matter what the situation was. What I like about David is he's not like Job. Job just kind of rolled over and took it whenever he was going through it. Job, we all know Job, the suffering guy from way back when. And he just kind of rolled over and went with it. He's, oh, all right, you know, I don't know what I've done, but I'm trusting in God, and I'm not going to curse his name, and I'm just going to, I'll be here. And his friends are like, you have to curse God, and you have to admit you've done wrong. And he's like, oh, I don't know what I've done. I don't get it, but I'm here. David was different. I like Psalms, especially for this purpose. And Psalm 3 is something that I have really kind of taken a hold of. At least this past week, because I don't know about the rest of you, but this week was not happy. John, no. This week was rough. I don't know anybody else. Am I the only one? Seems to be an ongoing thing. Not just this week, the week before that, just kind of building on each other. The pile's getting higher and higher until it's going to hit the fan. Sorry. Cracking myself up here. All right. But Psalm, if you want to turn there, Psalm 3, I'm going to read it. It's one of the shorter ones. I'm not going to go read 119 or nothing like that. I'm just going to read the whole thing. I'm reading from the NIV. Actually, before I read, one of the things that I like about it, you'll see two examples, that, or at least I saw two examples of what David went through. It starts off with David in distress. David's kind of about a situation. He's his heart is longing for more, and then he kind of finds relief in God, and then he gets pissed. And then there's a couple of verses in there that are kind of fun, actually. But then he ends it with kind of a hope in God. And I think that's, if you need help, if you're going through it and you don't know what to do, look to the Psalms. Because most of the Psalms start off with either David or whoever else it is writing the Psalms in some sort of pickle, as it were, of being upset, being pissed, being drained. And they come to God, and they come to God very real. They come to God and say, I can't take it anymore. God, help me. And by the end of the psalm, there's a hope that's instilled. And there's not necessarily answers. And that's one of the things that upsets me about Job, is that there wasn't really an answer to why he went through it. But God made himself known in his character. And he said, I'm here. I'm still God. And I will take care of you. And that's kind of how the psalms go. Psalm 3, I'm just going to read now. It says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver me. But you are a shield around me, O Lord. You bestow glory on me and lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers from his glory, from his holy hill. I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear the 10,000s who are drawn against me on every side. Rise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. Strike my enemies in the jaw and break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. How many want to pray that prayer against people? Break their teeth. Because I'm just sick of it. Break their jaw, please. Because vengeance is yours. So let's see a little in action. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. So, but what I like about this, and again, what I like about Psalms, and even Jesus demonstrated this as well, is that there's no formula, or there's no ritual that takes precedence over coming to God. There was a lot that was instilled in, you know, the Pentateuch about this is how you come to God. And you have to come and you're clean, and you come and you wash your hand, and you do all this stuff, and you wear the right clothes, and you tie a rope around your foot when you come to the Most High, so if you die, they can pull you out. All these things, that may be too much. Anyway, there's all these things that you have to do, but David demonstrated that you can come to God no matter what state you're in. And Jesus did the same thing. He said, just come. There is nothing that is more important than coming. The rituals that are in place and the hoops you have to jump through before you can come see God are not as important as coming. Just come, whatever state you're in. That's why I've crawled in today. I didn't put on my best. I didn't, you know, bandage my wounds before I've come. I've just come. And it kind of builds upon the other messages I brought a couple weeks ago about healing. The church has got it backwards and says you have to worship God and then he will heal you. But Jesus came and he said, be healed. Now go worship God. Hmm. And it's a part of that community. Just come. It doesn't matter what state you're in. God wants you. He wants you here, and he loves you enough to not let you keep going through it without hope and without him. He'll be with you if you come to him. Just come. And that's what I like about David and the Psalms, and that's what I like about Jesus, is that they showed us you're beaten, you're bruised, you're broken. I want you, is what God says. And that's probably the most powerful thing to me, because this week has been one of beatings and bruisings and breakings, and cuttings, and slappings, and kickings, and pushings, and everything else. And it's just, God, rise up. Break their teeth. I need help. And he will. And it's the other scriptures about God working for the good, it's true. God does work for the good. And that does instill a hope, which is vital. But just because I don't have the answer of how God will help isn't going to stop me from coming. God will help. He promises to help. There's a lot of time. He doesn't really give the formula for how he's going to help, because it might be different each time. We see that in Jesus' ministry. He does things differently each time. So we can't really expect, okay, well, God's going to do A, B, and C, and that's how he's going to deliver me out of this. He doesn't promise that, but he does promise that he will help. And he does promise that he will work for good. So, I guess that's it. I'll just keep babbling, but...